The Lord be with you. Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have each one of you with us today. For those of you who are watching at home on Facebook Live, we're glad you could be here. Of course, if you look farther down the Facebook page, you'll find a link to this morning's bulletin where you can follow along in our worship. You can also find their announcements of upcoming events in the life of the church, a calendar of the week's events near the back. And for those of you who are here, you can look inside your bulletin. There are a couple of things I want to point out to you this morning. One is not listed there. We've unfortunately had a little bit of COVID spread from our church retreat, as you all know. So if you would like to wear a mask, we have masks in the commons, and we ask, you know, many of the Montreat folks have been communicated with, and those who are here have been tested and cleared, and so we just want to be as transparent as we can be in the days ahead so we can continue to be cautious as a community. So prayers for all of those who are at home watching, those who are sick. We hope you all get better soon. So during the Easter season, we're continuing the work of the church. We have Sunday school upstairs at 9:15 during the Sunday school hour, reviewing the Apostles' Creed. We have a couple of mission opportunities coming up. We're beginning to solicit volunteers for Camp AIM. We couldn't get that information in the bulletin in time. Camp AIM is a camp to support children who have been victims of abuse in our community that's put on by the Family Support Council. And every year, you all are so gracious to help serve meals. So if you have questions, see the newsletter this week. Reach out to Roger Rollins as he begins a schedule to get volunteers. And those will be the first two full weeks of June. You'll hear more about that from us soon. Of course, this morning we are grateful to celebrate the presence of the risen Christ among us. So with joy and thanksgiving, let us worship God together. Let us begin our worship by sharing a hands-free peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. From Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He
He leads me in right paths.
For his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley,
I fear no evil.
For you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
And let us pray. God of grace, you cause the sun to rise and chase away the shadows of death. Each day you promise resurrection that we may be born again to new life and overcome all that would hurt or destroy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be alive again with the power and peace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Gracious and loving God, you call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to one another, but we are content to live in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression. You call us to fight pretension and injustice, but we sit idly by, endangering the lives of people far and near. Forgive us, Lord. Reconcile us by the power of your Spirit, and give us the courage and strength
through
Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9. Listen for God's word. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Some weeks ago, we began to walk the Emmaus Road with two disciples of Jesus, who on the day of Easter found a stranger in their midst and began to talk about all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. The stranger was Jesus, even though the two men didn't recognize him, and he began to tell them about himself in Scripture. So that's where we left it, and today we pick up the story. It is evening, the day is nearly done, and the two men, Cleopas and the other unnamed, want this wandering stranger to stay with them for the evening, not knowing that it's the risen Jesus with them. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Listen for God's word to you. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the Scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Gracious God, let your Easter light reveal your holy word in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Be known to us in this scripture, in our breaking of the bread, and in our own burning hearts as we wait for you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. If I say, "Surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me," even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. That's the psalmist, Psalm 139. The psalm is a reflection that God is present in the whole of life, beginning at birth and continuing through the various paths we take, no matter where we wind up. The psalmist sings, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast." It's a beautiful image, but I wonder how true we experience it to be when we make our bed in Sheol. It's a Hebrew word. It's a term for the darkness of death, or metaphorically, they use it for the depths of suffering we experience. It's a symbolic encapsulation of all the low points of life when it feels like God is far away. I think we're most used to finding God at the bright and airy heights of our life. We'd certainly rather be there. We're better at faith in the light, more trusting maybe, or more cheerful. We have more to give to our neighbor or someone who needs our help. It's the times of weddings and celebrations and baptisms and graduations, all of those things that happen this time of year because it's light and we're happy. It's families reunited after a long time away. It's welcoming a new child, or reconnecting with an old friend. So I hope that you have some times of light coming to you in the days and weeks ahead. Times when it seems like the only fit soundtrack for your life is the doxology. You know, there are other times too. Seasons of illness or pain or loss, seasons of dislocation or wandering, wondering what's next, wondering where the hand of God is in it at all. Maybe you know all too well what it means to be in Sheol, sitting in the darkness, waiting on God, wondering if help will ever come to you. It's easier to practice your faith when things are going well. When it's Eastertide and the sun is out and the world is bursting into bloom all around you, May is the most beautiful month of the year here, I think. You can almost skip to church. You know what it's like when that's not the case. And I began with Psalm 139 because it uses this image of darkness. Even in darkness, God is present. And you can hear it in the text for today, in the request the disciples make to Jesus on the Emmaus Road, it's been a long couple of weeks. Let's not go to Damascus today. Stay with us because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. It's hope that this stranger who makes their hearts burn with something like the presence of God will be with them in the darkness too. The Easter day is ending. But maybe the presence of this stranger makes them feel something like hope, even if they're still mourning or just amazed. Maybe God will be with them in this new season, too, of mourning and of hoping, even when the two are confused. So the psalmist and the gospel reading seem to suggest that God will indeed accompany us in just those places. But I want to mix metaphors a little bit today as a way of imagining what it means to practice our faith in the darkness and not just in the light. So I think we're apt to construe the season of Easter and the promise of Jesus' resurrection as something like there are good times ahead, nothing but good. So just remember how bright the sanctuary looks in springtime, even on a day like this when it's a little cloudy. Just remember what it was like a few weeks ago at Easter and everyone had their pastels and the sanctuary was full and the brass boomed out and we sang, Jesus Christ is risen today. And let's flower the cross and delight in creation. That's why there was a gardener at the tomb. We assume he was pruning the azaleas and gathering a bouquet. So Lent, that season that leads up to Easter, comes from the old English word lengthen, meaning lengthen. The days are getting longer, the world is awakening, the seasonal resonance of faith is apt. So the Catholic theologian Karl Rahner casts this comparison of light and dark times in faith in terms of summer Christians and wintry Christians. He says, summer Christians like their spirituality hot. They want to feel something, to experience something and be moved by the power of the Spirit. They're happy to tell you that the Lord answered their prayers and will willingly offer you specific examples. They come to worship, to be with others, and to praise God in a spirit of community and friendship. Wintry Christians experience faith in a far different fashion and often find themselves melting in the presence of such heat. Wintry Christians believe God should be present, but their lives frequently feel God's absence. You can imagine how this plays out, and no, it's not just that most of us Presbyterians can be a little bit wintry. Summer Christians celebrate Easter. So wintry Christians need Good Friday, too. Summer Christians, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wintry Christians, my God, why have you forsaken me? Summer Christians, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Wintry Christians, Jesus walked that lonesome valley. Summery Christians, the Lord is risen. Wintry Christians, stay with us, Lord, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. The thing is, the church and all of us as individuals need both expressions of our faith, because our lives are comprised both of summer and wintry seasons. So surely the women who were going to the tomb on Easter morning did not expect a miracle. You're not expecting a miracle when you're bringing burial spices with you. They found it. They announced the good news to others. And despite all of this excitement, why in the world are two of the disciples of Jesus walking away from Jerusalem down the road to Emmaus? Like I said before, it's been a couple of weeks since we read the first part of this story together. Two followers of Jesus, one Cleopas, the other unnamed, are walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. They're talking back and forth when a stranger appears. It's the risen Jesus. But as the story has it, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. As we're left to ponder this mysterious note, the trio discuss the events that had taken place in Jerusalem with Jesus' death. And they share the startling news that some of their companions had gone to the tomb early in the morning only to find it empty. And Jesus, still in disguise, chides them for their lack of understanding. He tells them that the scripture points out just this sequence of events, that even though the worst they could imagine or experience had happened, that God was always preparing resurrection. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. So as it gets on towards evening, the wandering disciples, whether they realize it or not, want to remain in the presence of God. The day has been startling enough. They want to know how to be present with God in the uncertainty of the future. Stay with us, because it is evening and the day is nearly over. I think we can feel confident as God's Easter people when the day is bright, when things are going well, when your life works. What about our faith in the dark? Some years ago, the author Barbara Brown Taylor wrote a book about her experience in recognizing the dark side of her faith. It's what Karl Rahner would call her wintry spirituality, but maybe it was coming to grips in the unexpected presence of God, even when in the season of life when things weren't always clear. And so her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, begins by way of a little autobiography. She writes of a walk she and her husband took through their Atlanta neighborhood. We decided, she says, to haul anchor and move someplace where we could be on more intimate terms with the moon in all her seasons. If this does not sound important to you, I am not sure I can explain it. It had something to do with a growing awareness that our own seasons were numbered, and we did not have forever to start paying attention to them. Plus, there is something promising in the cycles of the moon. Now you see her, now you don't. For those who are more than halfway through what feels like, for all the world, a linear life with a period in view. Barbara Brown Taylor is pretty well known for many of you. For the rest of us, she moved near Clarksville, near the northeast Georgia mountains, and the sky was very different there. Taylor noticed the city lights did not black out the stars. So walking her new home, Taylor writes, "The sky over my head has changed from blue to saffron to an inky plum color, which the thin gray clouds on the horizon are soaking up like cloths dropped on a spill. The air is cool, but cooling fast. The light cotton sheet I have thrown over my legs is starting to feel damp. Dew is condensing on my upper lip. Above my head, a single bat is making loop-de-loops as it hones in on hapless insects and plucks them from the air. If the rabbis had said a Sabbath begins when you see three bats in the sky, then it would be a third of the way there. But still, there are no stars in the sky." During the day, it is hard to remember that all the stars in the sky are out there at this time, even when I am too blinded by the sun to see them. While I am driving to the post office to pick up my mail, a shooting star could be flying over the hood of my car. And while I am walking to the library to return an overdue book, Orion's belt could be twinkling right above me. It's always night somewhere, giving people the darkness they need to see, feel, and think things that hide out during the day. So it's there even when you can't see it. It's the faith that's there when you can't see it, don't even care to look. It's in faraway places like Ukraine, where we have the privilege of forgetting what's going on and where the people who live there don't. And in places in our country where people don't get enough to eat or have to wander far from home and beyond borders to find a job or a safe place to live. Or near to us in our own community where children grow up with trauma or get picked up by a school bus just down the street in a per-week motel. It's in places where people are still sick or dying from a pandemic. Or where people who are once friends or neighbors or church members together are no longer on speaking terms because of a Facebook post or a half-joking comment. That's the dark side of faith. And it's in our own lives that when we hide the darkness, hoping that others don't see, hoping they don't see our pain or our distress or our heartache, because we wonder how others would perceive us if they knew. Easter promises something new. A risen Jesus who suffers and endures and rises through the worst of creation so that all who walk in the dark have the same assurance. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and night itself wraps around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light to you. The Lord is risen. Easter is a promise to God's people, all people, especially those who walk in the dark. Stay with us because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. It's not until Cleopas and his friend break bread that they see Jesus for who he is. It's in a hastily shared meal that God becomes known. It's in the communion meal where we taste and see that God is good. So it's interesting then that the disciples only recognize Jesus when it's actually dark. In the broad light of day, they don't know who is recognizing to them, but it's in the body broken and in the cup poured out that God becomes known. Their hearts burn within them. They only see God in the dark. Maybe that's a warning. Maybe it's a promise. Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you.
response to the word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Together, let us offer our prayers of concern for the church and the world, first in silence. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, through the changeability of our days, your steadfast love endures forever. Your faithfulness to the clouds, your righteousness to the ends of the earth. We praise you for who you are and your abundant grace to us in Jesus Christ. In this season of your new creation, of resurrected life, renew your promises within us. You will meet us in just the places we need of death and darkness with Easter dawn. God, guide us in our lives and in our lives of prayer on behalf of those we know and love and on behalf of those known and loved by you alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a world still in the dark, Lord, of warfare in faraway places and innocent suffering close to home. We remember how in Jesus Christ you lived a life of human goodness as a poor man, and you identified with us in your weakness. Help us to identify with those who suffer, whether faraway refugees and people under threat of violence, especially in Ukraine. Help us, too, to remember those close to us you have called us to serve, our neighbors here in Dalton, for the families around Park Creek Elementary School, the children of Camp AIM as we prepare for another summer of serving them. God, prosper for us the work of our hands for the sake of your kingdom and those you have come to love through us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our church, Lord, in the many ways you have called us to serve here, whether through helping hands or sharing food with friends, caring for children, leading your people in music and worship, or discerning your will as elders. Teach each one of us what it means to serve you here, and help those especially who are preparing for membership and considering what it means to be your disciples. Teach us how to receive them, how to open the doors of this place wide enough to embrace all you have called us to love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our friends and family, Lord, especially those who are sick. Heal those who are suffering from COVID right now. We pray for mild cases and quick returns, and for all those who suffer illness over the ordinary course of life, who are receiving treatment for cancer, we're preparing for or recovering from surgery. God, we ask nothing less than the healing of your spirit. We name those close to us now in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Above all this season, we celebrate who you are for us in Jesus, our risen Lord. Let his Spirit come upon all of us to unite us with Christ in his work and his mission of love and compassion, and in his prayer that he continually offers before your throne of grace. And hear us as we pray in the words Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God gives, and in gratitude we respond. So in this time of offering, in which we are not passing the plate today, I encourage you to think about the ways God is calling you to give and serve through the mission of Jesus Christ here at First Presbyterian Church. So whether you are here or at home, you may make a gift through our online portal if you follow the web address in your bulletin. Of course, you can pray for all of those who are at home giving and serving too. Let us worship God together with our gifts. Let us pray. Holy God, we give nothing but what we have received from your gracious hand. So we praise you for your gifts, which meet us with each return of each new season, for the blessing of life and creation, which continues. Even through shadow of death, Easter light dawns. So we give you thanks for who you are for us in Jesus, for the continuing and abiding presence of your Spirit, for all that you have given. And pray that you will transform us through giving as we have been transformed by your gifts, for the sake of those you have called us to love in the way of Jesus Christ. We pray all this in his name. Amen. The disciples feel God with them when Scripture is read, when they converse with the risen Jesus. They only see who he is in the dark. So no matter the season you find yourself in or the day that awaits you in the world, trust that God will meet you in times of light and in times of dark. There the risen Jesus will find you. So go in trust and in hope. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.